You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Cynthia A. Sandor. She is the author of Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. Her websites are Cynthia A. Sandor, that's S-A-N-D-O-R, CynthiaASandor.com, and BDMHistory.com. Her Facebook page is under author Cynthia A. Sandor. Okay, you were talking about the camp that she went to, and this was called the Country Service Year Camp.
Correct. Excuse me. Correct. Yes, it's Land Your Lager, Seydorf. She went to the camp Seydorf, and my mother told me that her mother Josefa received a letter from the Reich's Ministry that said, based upon her my mother's accomplishments and her achievements in the Jungmädel, that she was specifically chosen to participate in this elite role educational program called Country Service Year Camp. And it was like a finishing school. And it was an 8 to 9 month long training program that was located in a rural environment very far away from the family home. Now, from Kleinsel to the manor home in Seydorf, and it's in Poland today, it was a 7-hour drive.
Oh, my goodness.
Me. Oh, yeah. And I went all by myself. I rented a little smart car, and I went whizzing down the Autobahn at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, you can do that there.
I loved it. And the cars were still passing by me. So it took me seven hours to drive there by myself. I did find it, and It was a wonderful trip going over there. But it took my mom 2 days on a train to get to Seydorf. And they wanted the camps to be far away because they didn't want the interference from the parents. And so it was overseen by the Reich's Ministry of Education, Science, and Culture. But the program was originally designed to reduce youth unemployment and to educate the adolescents for possible careers in agriculture and with the girls in home economics. Now, these camps replaced the 9th-year academic curriculum in the school. And these chosen girls had to be physically fit, they had to be in good character standing, and they had to be ready to serve the community and their people at any time. Now, their normal 6-day work week started at 6 in the morning, and it ended at 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's 15 hours a day that these kids would get up and do their thing, and then by 9 o'clock at night is when they crashed into bed, and then the next morning they would wake up and do it all over again. So when she went to camp, the first thing they did was they had to fill out their registration form so that the leaders, there were 3 camp leaders there, that this was a way for them to get to know the children. And my mom told me she had to fill out this form and giving her name, her address, her birth origins, and I'm sure they had that information already on hand. But she was 13 years old at the time, and she had to note all the practical skills that she acquired during her time when she was in the Jungmädel. And that included all of the home economics, her arts and crafts, her musical aptitude, the songs that she learned. And remember, they learned 10 songs a month when they were in the Jungmädel. But she had to put down her religious affiliation, her favorite sports activities, and the awards and the achievements that she received when she was in the Jungmädel. But she also had to note down her diverse knowledge in nursing, first aid, and her physical and athletic abilities.
Wow. And how old was she?
13.
13.
Yeah, and I mean, she knew.
Children now do not even know how to sew on a button.
No. Well, see, this was important because remember going back to the hiking trips? See, mm-hmm. there was no cell phones that they can just call an ambulance and say, come over, get us, you know, if somebody fell and sprained their ankle. They had to learn to take their BDM jacket and make a stretcher out of it. So mm-hmm. if they had to carry someone back, they had to, you know, chop down the branches or the limbs off of a tree, put it through their jacket, and learn how to make that so they can carry them back, or tourniquets, or how to deal with dehydration or bruises or whatever may happen, cuts and scrapes and whatnot. So, yeah, they had to learn a lot. They had a lot of knowledge before they went into the BDM, but that was what they were taught.
Mm-hmm.
So that once when they were in camp, now in this camp, in Camp Seidorf, which is in Sosnowska, Poland, and the house is still there today, which is really cool. And it's still in its original condition except for some minor upgrades, which is really cool. But in Camp Seidorf, there were 40 girls altogether, and 20 girls came from the region of Lower Austria, and the other 20 girls came from the Upper Silesia area in Poland. And the girls were put together in three groups that were rotated. Their positions were rotated every 2 weeks. And then this way they didn't get bored because they mm-hmm. were doing the same thing over and over and over again. But there were three groups of these 40 girls, and there was the home economics group, and there was the farming and, like, the livestock group, and then there was the gardening group. Mm-hmm. And the entire management of the camp was overseen by three camp leaders, and there was Fräulein Dieter, Fräulein Albrecht, and Fräulein Gruber. And the reason why I know this, because I found the house, I met with the owners of the house, and then the owners of the house had the contact information, and you're not going to believe this, for my mom's friends, Ellie, Nellie, Steffi, and Marie, and they were all in the same room together.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
When I contacted them and I told them what I was doing, they just said, oh, my God, I remember your mom. We did this, and they were going back and forth, and it was. And what was nice was they gave me copies of their journals. And so I gave them a copy of my mom's journal so that we can kind of trade off the information. And after being there and seeing everything, because I spent some time there traveling throughout the area and visiting all the places that my mom wrote about in her journal, it was nice to really put the words of the girls' journal together with the places that they went and what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely fascinating. But getting back to the leaders, the three leaders who oversaw the management of the camp, Fräulein Dieter, she was the troop leader. And it was her responsibility to instill very high expectations in the girls to perform their duties using a military-like disciplinary measures. And what I mean by that is when you're standing at the flag, given the flag greeting ceremony, you know, your chest is out, your back is straight, your arms are right by your side. And when you go marching, you march in sync together as one. It was all taught to be together as one. Now, that was Fräulein Dieter. Then there was Fräulein Albrecht. She was the camp leader, and she motivated and inspired the girls to learn and willingly perform their duties and to instill a certain code of moral ethics in them. And then Fräulein Gruber, she was the economic and assistant leader, and she oversaw the management of the camp and taught the girls how to manage the home, including the finances. So all three leaders worked in conjunction. Now, it wasn't easy when the girls all got together for the first couple of weeks, because some of the girls, I was told, came from Oberschlesien, and that was the Upper Schlesia area in Poland, and they were from the city. So you had the city girls on one side and the country girls on the other, because the country girls came from the Niederösterreich area in Lower Austria. And so you had the different personalities of the girls. Some of the girls didn't want to go out and have to take care of the farm animals, or they didn't want to learn how to wash dishes. So there was, you know, some battling there, and everybody had to figure out their place in the household. But what they would do is every morning they would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, of course, you know, wash their face, brush their teeth, and dress and run out and have their flag greeting ceremony, you know, where they raise the flag. And then they would eat breakfast and start their work until noon. Now, if the girls were in the home economics group, they were responsible for all the kitchen details, for the cooking, the house cleaning, and all the laundry. Now, remember, there were 40 girls and 3 camp leaders, and to cook and clean every day was a huge chore. And next, there was the farming and the livestock group, and these girls would help the farmers in their community and on their farms, whether it was planting the potatoes in the spring or taking care of the farmers' livestock or harvesting the fields in the fall. But they would also help the farmers' wives in their homes. And then there was the gardening group, and they just did that. They all came together. They developed like a plan to scale as to where to locate their garden on the property, and noting environmental factors such as like shade and water runoff. And they would cultivate the soil. And you would see pictures of all the girls lined up with their shovels overturning the soil and planting the seeds and tending to the garden and removing the insects and fertilizing the soil, because that was their food. That's what they had to survive on. And they would every day go out and pick the vegetables for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and clean them, cook them, and serve them.
Wow. And, amazing. I mean, this is amazing.
Isn't that something? I mean,
yes.
Teaching anybody today, put a little garden in your backyard, grow your own tomatoes. How do you do that?
Right.
You know,
I have a quick question.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, those are very good, too. Mm-hmm. A quick question. When did your mother come to America, and how quickly did she learn to speak English? Tell us a little bit about that. Why did she come, and how did she come?
My mother came to the States. Now, she married my dad because they met in Linz after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom spoke a very broken English, and my dad spoke a very broken German. So back then you had chaperones.
Oh, was he American? Was he?
Yes, he was an American soldier.
Okay.
He was in the Army Corps of Engineers.
Oh, that's right. You said that. Okay.
Right. Yes. And he was stationed at the Niblinger Bridge in Linz. It's still there today. There was like a checkpoint Charlie. So on one mm-hmm. side you had the Russians, and on the other side you had the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And so they met, and then my mom was chaperoned always by her brother and sister. And because they learned how to speak English, they would translate every single word my dad said, even his marriage proposal.
Oh, have fun.
So they ended up, my parents got married in the Linson Dome. It was partially bombed out at the time. And my father was in the United States Forces, Austria, until 1957. So once when it was over with, they lived in Gemunden for a short time, and then they left on the SS United States out of the port of Le Havre in France and came to the United States because my father was American. And so they came here to the States, and they lived in Glenville, Connecticut for a while. And my mom slowly started learning how to speak the language, and she got a job at HomeLite up in Norwalk, Connecticut, where they make the chainsaws. And my dad was a carpenter, and he was building houses, and that's the whole Sandor family up in Glenville. They're all carpenters, and they have their own, some of them have their own businesses up there where they build these beautiful mansion and houses. It's absolutely incredible. So that's what happened to my mom and my dad. But it took my mom a little while. She never really, really could speak perfect English because, see, German, the language is backwards. So if I were to say something like, I would like to buy the ashtray, please, it would in German, literal translation would be, I would like to the ashtray, buy, please. So it's, ich möchte die Aschenbecher kaufen, you know, it's like the subject, verb, predicate, subject, modal, verb, predicate, verb. So my mom spoke backwards English, so to speak. And then people said, you talk kind of funny. And I'm like, what do you mean I talk funny? But it wasn't until I went to college and started getting my degrees and going back and learning English all over again that they said, oh, okay, got it. You know, that's where I learned. When I took German in college is when my English was, you know, came along. But, yeah. And my dad never finished school. He never finished high school because he went into the war. He went into World War II.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to this camp, when you first started talking about it, you said that they kind of learned that it was a military-like disciplinary kind of a situation. And I could relate to that, but when you think of the military and boot camp, you're there for a purpose. You're there to learn discipline, but you don't mm-hmm. learn life skills. You learn discipline so that you can go and kill people in other countries.
Well, that's different. I mean, these were the
yes,
girls.
Yes, this is really different.
Okay, so this is the girls. The discipline, it's like, if I can share a little story with you that someone told me. Very, very
sure.
dear friend of mine who lives up in Ohio. And she has a very, very dear friend, German lady. And she's in her late 80s now. And she the German lady was the leader for the Cub Scout group. And she taught the Cub Scouts how to march. And when they did their, I guess they had presentations they had to give on their marching skills, she won the award every single year for her Cub Scout group because she taught them how to march like the Hitler Youth did, which I thought was pretty funny when she told me. And because, anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Yeah, it was discipline. The upbringing was home economics, arts and crafts. Yes, they were being taught how to become mothers. They were taught child rearing skills. They were taught proper nutrition. They were taught how to cook, how to clean, how to make furniture. My mother made her journal in her arts class. They were learning how to make toys for the children, clothing. They learned how to make clothing from the flax plant.
Amazing.
A lot. Mm-hmm.
All righty, we are going to take a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
I guess I really like that music. Okay, our guest is Cynthia A. Sandor, and she is the author of Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. All righty, we were talking about the camp and what it did for the girls, and really it just prepared them to be productive members of society. Now, could they have not learned these same things in their home?
I'm sure they did, but this went deeper than that. Now, let's just take a minute to look at the word discipline and what does it mean. It is, it's a training to obey the rules or a code of behavior. I mean, you wouldn't want to be down walking in the street and not paying attention to the signs and then getting hit by a car. Right?
Right, or a train.
Or by a train, yeah. And it's... I don't want to look at the word discipline being negative. It's positive because we need that. And so with the girls, this taught them to have very strong work ethics. And it taught them to stay focused. And... this way, Germany didn't allow their girls to become lazy or apathetic. And so I think the government took it upon themselves to teach the kids these work ethics and to be disciplined so that they, when they became adults, they were not dependent upon the government to drain the government from financial resources of social welfare, or becoming so dependent upon the state that they can't function, because that's going to totally destroy a country if you have half of the population. If you have 51% of the population that's dependent, and 50% take care of the 51%, that's going to destroy a country.
Mm-hmm.
So they were teaching the girls to take care of themselves, to take pride in themselves.
And the, also the camaraderie that they learned, which they probably would not have learned at home if they came. Well, you said that some of the children came from the cities,
yeah.
And they probably would not have learned about taking care of animals or gardens or anything like that. So
no.
They put them in an environment where they could learn all these various skills so that they could take care of themselves no matter what situation they were placed in.
Right, exactly. And look at the girls back then that were living in the city. Cosmopolitan lifestyle is what Marie called it. And they were more concerned about their fashion and their hair and makeup than they were about learning about the personal hygiene or self-reliance, if you like to call it. And that this way, they could take care of themselves at all times and when they became mothers or parents and had children of their own. So it's a natural tendency that you know, I'm not saying that you're going to teach every child every girl that you're gonna learn how to have babies right when you get out of the Bund Deutscher Mädel. No, that's not true, because even when they got out of the BDM, they went into like the Belief in Beauty Society, and then after that they can go into becoming to get married or to go to work.
Mm-hmm. But they were learning things that would help them for the rest of their lives. Now, what you're saying, or what I think you're saying, is that the Third Reich valued their children enough to train them at an early age so that they could become valued members of society no matter what situation they were in. And not only did the children have strong work ethics, they also had a strong sense of will, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, see, the Jungmädel and the BDM leaders were absolutely 100% responsible for teaching and educating the girls to acquire the basic common knowledge skills. And this is how the girls develop their strong sense of will and determination. And the girls were determined to be the best that they could at all times, and this is proof in the film footage and the photos that we see. I mean, even when I talk to the German women who are still alive today, and that when these girls became mothers, they passed down their morals, their principles, their ethics, and their values of that which they learned in the BDM.
And As your mother did.
And I'm speaking only for myself because this is what my mom taught me. Now, even when I go to my family...
We have a three-minute break. We'll be right back, and then we'll pick that up on the other side.
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
And we have Cynthia A. Sandor as our guest. She is the author of Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. Her websites are cynthiaasandor.com and bdmhistory.com. And we do have a couple of callers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take our callers, and then we'll get back to the example that your mother set for you. Okay. We have Russell in Minnesota. Russ?
Thank you so much, Diana, for taking my call. I'd like to add to your guest, the Jewish girls, would they join the organization as well as the other girls? Would all the girls join? Or was this a mandatory, or was it voluntary? And did you have Jewish girls joining up in there, too?
Well, my mom grew up in a little village called Kleinzell, Austria, and it's a very small rural village from a long ways away from Vienna. And from what I understand, there were no Jewish girls in the League of German Girls or in the BDM, and they were not allowed to be a part of the Hitler Youth.
So it was a discriminatory organization then. It did discriminate based on race.
That was the mindset back then in Austrian Germany in the 30s, yes.
May I ask you, was there any type of groups that that where the parents would say, we don't want our kids, you know, to join up on this here organization where we, you know, we're going to boycott, you know, we don't want, for example, like say a religious organization would say, we don't want our kids into this Hitler worship, all of this type of thing.
Well, there was, before the Hitler Youth, there was a group called the Catholic Quickborns. And prior, there were a number of groups throughout Germany and Austria, and all these groups were brought together and put under the Hitler Youth and the Bund Deutsche Mädel. And I also explain that in the back part of my book.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thanks, Russ. Okay, let's take Jim in Kansas. Jim?
Jim in Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On page 58 through 61 of your book, The Ruling Elite, Death, Destruction, and Domination, because of the banking system that was putting people back to work without inflation, that needs to be worked into every conversation that you have on talk radio. That's the most profound stuff that I have ever read about the origins of World War II. And then if you go about the origins of war, you need to get this Edward the Seventh in there. And I'll shut up and let somebody else talk.
Thank you.
Okay, you could always... Oh, I was just wanted to mention to him, if he wanted to email me at webmaster@bdmhistory.com, he can always send that information over to me. But my focus is on my mother in the book.
Sure.
And what she learned on. But yes, I did touch about the in one of the chapters there about how when Hitler took over Germany and into Austria, and how the economics changed in the country, and my mom went from being poverty stricken, and the landlord threw her my grandmother out of the house because she couldn't pay the rent because her husband had passed away, and she ended up having to give him a cow and then some chickens, and that's how she was paying the rent. And then he said, well, you got five kids and you can't pay the rent, out you go. So my grandmother was walking down the street with a wooden wheelbarrow full of their belongings and five kids hanging on to her. And, because Dantinita told me that story. And my Uncle Franz, he was still too young to really remember, but Dantinita was a little bit older than my mom. And so Frau Brauer down the street saw my grandmother and said, come on in, you know, let me, you live here and live in the barn and help me around the house, and your kids can work here. And that was the village, everybody helping each other out. So that once when Austria was annexed into Germany, my grandmother received 1,000 Reichmarks, which was, I don't know how much it would convert into today's dollars, probably like 10 grand or something. But that gave her the money to buy a house, buy the property, start building her house, get clothes for the kids, buy a bicycle for my uncle. And that he remembered because he got himself a brand new bicycle. And he's like, we have our own house now and we're doing good. We got food on the table. So, I mean, the entire economy changed in Austria. It seemed like my uncle told me practically overnight things changed.
Indeed. That is amazing. And that is why they wanted to be annexed, why they voted to be annexed.
Yes, because Germany was doing so much, so well for themselves after Hitler came into power in 1933. And the economy was rising. It was so much better, and people were working, and he reawakened industry. He got the factories going. Everybody had work. They were building the Autobahn. And he said, I want a car for the people that's inexpensive, reliable, and good on gas, and that everybody can afford. So he made the Volkswagen. The Volkswagen is the people's car.
That was my very first car, is a Volkswagen.
I rebuilt the Volkswagen, yes. I rebuilt it. I took the engine out. I made it into a little Baja bug. It took me 5 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I have pictures. I got to post them on Facebook, but yeah.
Oh, so, I loved my little Volkswagen.
Yeah, they were great cars. They still are. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so getting back to the girls, they learned all of these things, and they learned about nutrition, and they just learned everything they needed to know. Did they also learn how to break down a Volkswagen, you think?
No. Yeah, no, they learned. Actually, I'm gonna just tell you a quick story here. When I was 9 years old, we had to change the faucet in the kitchen wasn't working. And so my mom said, okay, get underneath the sink. I'm going to teach you at 9 years old how to change the faucet. And so my head's underneath the sink. And she said, okay, do this. And she started telling me. And I'm like, well, Mom, how do you know how to do this? She said, never mind. I know how to do it. Just do it. I think she was reading the directions, you know, that come with when you buy a faucet. There's directions there. But I never heard a piece of paper or nothing. And at 9 years old, the first thing I remember doing was changing the faucet in the kitchen sink. And I was very proud of myself.
That is just amazing, really.
Isn't that crazy? So, yeah, I mean, they learned. But, see, this is the things that they learned back then. And, you know, I was 9 years old. My mom was in her 30s, maybe early 40s, I don't know. But, I mean, that's what she instilled on to me. Here, I'm going to teach you. Let's go have some fun. I'm going to teach you how to do this. So it wasn't ever work, go in there and clean your room. It was like, hey, you want some clean clothes to wear tomorrow? You know, let's get this organized.
Sure. Parents teach their children how to weed in the garden like she did when you were four.
Yeah.
It was just something that came automatically to her to teach you to be independent.
You know, and also keep in mind that the parents, women, the parents, there's not a lot of women like me that I've run into who know how to do plumbing work, how to, you know, take the toilet off and change the wax seal or replace the guts, or fix the stove when it breaks, or how to change. My husband got really mad at me one time because he came home and I said, I got a present for you. He said, what did you do? I said, well, I put new pads on your car.
Brake pads?
He did what? I put the new brake pads on his car. And he said, why'd you do that for? I said, well, because I can and I wanted to. And I just had to look out and read how to do it and did it. Well, he took the car to the mechanic and had him check it out. He goes, did my wife do a good job? He said, absolutely.
Oh, how funny. Oh, that must have been intimidating, though. Seriously.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, and so, I mean, I got to be careful, you know what I'm saying? But it's like there's not... I've run into some women who are very, very independent. I mean, more so to the point where they have these skills that really intimidate men because men don't know how to do it.
Sure.
And I'm not putting them down. Please don't get me wrong or anything. It's that that's the way I was brought up, to be totally independent, totally self-sufficient. I've been single for 20 years. And I've learned how to deal with all of everything that has come my way so that I can survive. I'm not dependent upon a man and his paycheck. I'm fine myself because I make my own money, I do my own thing, and I'm not saying I'm rich, that's far from it, but I'm independent in the sense that I know how to take care of myself. And I talked to some guys over on the phone or through Facebook, and we have conversations. And it's nice that they can open up and share what's going on in their lives with me, because they don't understand why it is the way it is in their relationships. And so I ask them, you know, are their wives or their girlfriends or their partners, you know, do they, are, first of all, do they have high self-esteem? You know, can they do
and
things on their
don't.
Own?
A lot
and
of people
don't.
Don't.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We do have couple of callers.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we have three callers. Okay. John in Arlington. John?
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
There's a new series coming out in the... there's a new series on the Hero Channel on cable. It's called Hitler's... it's called Hitler's Empire Post-War. And it claims that they were... it claims that it was talking about the German Bunds in the United States, in one of them. And it claims that, first of all, that there was a... that these Bunds are, you know, these sort of copies of German Nazi organizations in Germany were subversive, and that they were part of a plan to overthrow the government of the United States by Nazi Germany.
That's so silly! I can't believe it. Well, if it's on commercial television, I think it's very. I would be very skeptical.
You would be skeptical.
Yes.
Anyway,
what channel is it on?
It's on the Hero Channel. I think it's like 259 cable.
I don't even know it.
Okay.
I watched the History Channel.
The government of Germany never had any intention of taking over the government in the United States. It's just not credible.
Well, ma'am, why does this claim or this myth, if you want to call it that, persist 70 years into the future?
Because people have written books making that claim. You have to read some accurate history. Read some books on accurate history.
All right, I understand, but what did her mother believe about the political situation and what was really going on with the conflict that was being manufactured?
Well, my mom wasn't in educated so much in the political point of view because she was in the Bund Deutscher Mädel, and that was to teach them the home economics, teach them, given the practical skills so that they can become mothers or move into their chosen vocations. So when my mother left the country service year camp and went back to Kleinzell, she got a job in Mariazell, and then within she started working right away in a hotel, and then the Russians came through, so she was never, she had no political indoctrination.
Okay. Well, thank you, John. Yeah. We do need to move on because we're running out of time. But thank you.
Okay,
let's take John in Arkansas. John?
Yeah, let's talk about those evil Germans for a second here. You know, this country wouldn't have gotten the way it is if it wasn't for German technology. As a matter of fact, what's your problem with Wolfgang Halbert?
That has absolutely nothing whatsoever. He was Polish.
He
told me that he was Polish, okay? And it has nothing to do with her book, so thank you for your call. Okay, let's take Jerry in Chicago.
Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I first heard you about 4 years ago when Deanna had a weekday show. And I called in and told you about my girlfriend's mother, who was in the Hitler Youth Brigade or Association, whatever you call it, and all that they learned. And I couldn't believe it when she told me this, but it's not just what Hitler taught. I want to say the Austrian people, because my grandmother on my mother's side, she raised her four sisters at the age of 17 when both of her parents were deceased. And she would not give them up to the state or the government or anything else like that. And she took whatever job she could. And then she raised my mother and two of her brothers. And after her husband died at an early age, my mom's father, and she did the best she could, and she would never give in. They were hardworking mm-hmm. people. I think this is something in the bloodline.
Yes, and growing up with the European values, the mindset, because my mother worked very hard. Her mother worked very hard. What I noticed is that the European people that I've become friends with, they have very strong work ethics. They value their family.
Well, thank you.
All
That's
right.
all I wanted to add. Have a great weekend. I love you. Bye.
Thank you for sharing.
All righty. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
And our guest today has been Cynthia A. Sandor, and she has this wonderful book. It is Through Innocent Eyes, The Chosen Girls of the Hitler Youth. Her websites are CynthiaASandor.com and BDMHistory.com. And she does have a Facebook, and she's under there as author Cynthia A. Sandor. So, appreciate those phone calls. And I remember Jerry calling in, and it's been about 4 years ago. And yes.
Amazing.
So while Germany
Freedom
was
also, yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Germany was doing very well. Meanwhile, America was in a Great Depression. And I did a kind of a side and a side by side a comparison of what Hitler was doing compared to what Roosevelt was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was totally different. It's in my book. Anyway, so tell us a little bit more. We've just got 2 minutes. Tell us what you would like us to know. You've got a presentation. You're going to be at the Kentucky Expo Center in Louisville, Kentucky, February 22nd through the 25th. So yes. Tell us what you'll be doing there. And also,
it's an absolutely very, very large military show. And I'm going to be in the where the author section is, and I will also be there with Professor Steve Nichols, and he wrote the book, War Generation? I can't believe I forgot the name of his book. Anyway, we're going to both be over there together. And German War Letters from 1939 to 1945. And so we're going to be there, and there's going to be a few other authors over there. And it's a very, very large event. And there's thousands of artifacts from military artifacts that are there. And I would recommend anyone who's in the area, if they can stop on by and, you know, not just to come over to see the authors, but to see what the other vendors have to show. Some of them have some very nice items from the period.
And on March 3rd and 4th, you're going to be at the Dade Battlefield Historic Park in Bushnell, Florida?
Yes, that's another event that I attend that annually, and that is it's a smaller World War II reenactment that is done, and it's put on by the Dade Battlefield Society. It's a wonderful family event to attend, and they have vendors there, and they have food, and they do a living history battle event in the park, and they do some music there, and it's nice. It's a nice event.
Well, it was just terrific having you on the program, and I hope you have a great time at those two events, and I hope people will attend. And I hope that people will purchase your book. It's a wonderful
book. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Email me at webmaster@bdmhistory, and I'll give them 20% off.
Thank you. That's great. That's very nice of you.
Just to say thank you. Deanna, it was a pleasure speaking with you.
As always, absolutely. I love talking with you. Okay, take care.
You too now.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.